Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 7:21 Central African time, at that time of the morning where we join on our very own Professor Adam Kamda, who's overlooking the Indian Ocean, which is rather cloudy, lots of rain coming through last night. Adam's got about 20 Jojos around his shop and a few around his building too. He's a sharp guy. He's an intelligent man. He's caught so much of water. They're catching, besides catching the fish, Adam catches water also. Adam Kamda, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakallah khair for joining us on your segment, Fishing with Adam. How are you doing this fine, beautiful morning?
Salam, Shafad. As I stand here at the Durban beachfront, I can look at millions and millions of liters of water ahead of me, but it's not fresh water, Shafad. It's all salt water. So this morning, it's overcast. As you said, it started drizzling a bit. The wind is up. It's a southwesterly. And we knew this weather system was coming, Shafa. That's why we took the opportunity yesterday morning to go out fishing, and we had a lovely day. I went out to number one reef and hooked quite a few fish, but every single one was taxed, then returned to the back line and caught a few nice fresh snapper salmon for the pot, Shafa.
No, absolutely, Adam. And I'm looking at a message which is putting a smile here. Zain says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam. It's a Black Friday. What about the black tails? Are they coming in cheap too? Hey, our guy's got a sense of humor, Adam.
Yes, Shafad. Black Friday was a good promotion for the shop. We don't run the promotion over the Black Friday weekend. We actually run the promotion through the entire month of November, and we keep changing the items every week. So it gives a chance for the customers to be spread out over the entire month, instead of making them all rush to the shop on one day and everyone gets frustrated, no parking, and, you know, we can't really do it justice. So we had a really good November promotion. And now it's holiday time, Shafat, and lots of people are gearing up for hitting the beach, checking their tackle and dusting off their rods and taking them down to the beach to have a few throws. As you know, shad season is open from 1st December, so it's quite an easy fish to catch, so it's a great way to introduce youngsters into fishing. Even if they are squirmish with soft, smelly bait, you can use, there's a variety of shad spoons that you get, Shafad, which keeps your hands clean and there's no odor. And you just basically cast it beyond the breakers and retrieve it slowly and you hook a shad. And within a matter of minutes, you can catch a quota of 4 shad for the morning, Shafad.
Absolutely. I've been talking to quite a few fishermen that walk off my road here in Delta Road. And I said, hey, how's the fishing? Hey, chef, the shad season is open. I said, yeah, how many are you going to catch it? No, it's open, chef. So you know what? They're ready for it. And then, you know, talking about the blacktails, how popular is it with our Indian fishermen? Do they like to have it? Tell me how you prepare a blacktail, Adam.
Yes, Shafar, a blacktail is a very tasty fish, but it's also one of the stinkiest when you're cleaning them, Shafar. So my advice is when you catch a blacktail, keep it in a cooler box with some ice. And when you get home, cut the belly open and clean it up properly immediately. Scale it, and then you can use your normal marinades. At the end of the segment, I'll give you a nice masala marinade to make like masala fried fish. It comes out really delicious, Shafar.
I tell you, you're a star. You're a star, 10 times over. Now, what about you? Why are you talking about smelly fish? What about the Bombay duck? When that auntie used to make Bombay duck, the whole neighborhood reckon, aye, what a smell, man, but a lucky tasty one that. What about the Bombay duck, Adam? How often people cook it now?
Yes, Shafat. As a little child growing up, we lived in Lincoln Mansions in Lawn Street. And I remember, you know, when someone was cooking this dish, you know, everyone could smell some strange odor is coming through. Oh my God, what is this? And people used to say it's Bombay duck, Bombay duck. So as a little kid, you think it's a bird. You know, you think these people are cooking a real duck. But it's actually a fish. And I only recently Googled it, Chapat. It's actually related to the lizard fish. We get lizard fishes off Durban as well. I've caught quite a few myself. It's just bycatch when we are fishing for bottoms. So it's a species of lizard fish which is cleaned and dried out and cured. And this particular fish, when you cook it, obviously, you know, it gives you that very strong odor. I haven't tasted it myself, but I would assume, you know, the origins of this style of dish would have come from India, where they dry the fish to preserve it, you know, where they don't have refrigeration, so they can keep it for long periods of time. And poor households can actually cook this up. It's got such a strong odor. It must have a very strong taste. So each person in the family would use just a little bit with a large bowl of rice, presumably Shafaat. And so a little bit goes a long way. So it was probably a very economical dish and something that you could preserve, you know, without much effort, Shafaat.
Well, I know name changes have come left, right, and center. So no more Bombay. They say Mumbai. So can we call it Mumbai duck now, Adam?
I think that original name still sticks with this dish. It's Bombay duck. I don't think we can change it to Mumbai duck.
Yeah. When my friend comes from Bombay, say, Bombay, say, I am a dost. Those go Bombay duck there. Okay, Adam understands that. Now, Adam, you know, fishing has been good recently. Even the fishermen are quite happy. But then they need to plan their trips around the weather. How do you do that? If inclement weather like this, can you plan a trip with an inclement weather impending?
Yes, Shafat. I use the app WinGuru. And this app shows you can punch in basically whichever town you are in along the KZN coast. So it's actually used worldwide. And I found it to be remarkably accurate. Obviously, you need to learn to interpret all the numbers and the colors and the symbols that they use. And remember that it is just a forecast. It's not cast in stone. So it's according to the weather, according to the models of the way the pressure changes and the weather system is, you know, moves up the coast. They use a computer with a certain model to forecast wind, swell period, wind direction, swell direction, etc. A lot of people say that WinGuru is nonsense and they always get it wrong. But I found it to be remarkably accurate to give you a direction as to which way the weather is going. I'll give you an example. As you know, I usually go out fishing on Sunday mornings. And I could see ahead that Saturday morning presented a better gap for fishing. Sunday and Monday would be, fully overcast with a strong chance of rain and strong southwesterly winds. So I could call it, Shafaat, that, you know, at Sunday and Monday, give it a miss. Although Saturday is a busy day for me, I, you know, took a couple hours off Saturday morning and went out there. And it was spot on with the southwesterly wind. It flattens the sea, especially on the back line here at Ushaka, and enjoyed a fantastic morning of fishing. And here I am available for the show, Shafaat. Otherwise, I'd be telling you I'm going fishing. I can't come.
Hey, Adam, I knew you had to be on because I knew the weather like 2 weeks in advance. I said, no, I said, Adam will be on. Like, you know, when you're not on, like the even the fish in the Indian Ocean, they get depressed. They say, we have to listen to Adam Canada and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. I mean, I'm not forgetting those people that listen to you around the world. They really enjoy you, Adam. I mean, the other day it was the, advocate, Sarabi Jazbai, who's down in New Zealand, and he told me, you know, Shafaat, so many people listen to your shows here and the shows of Mufti AK Hussein. It's just unreal. Then the other day, it was this guy, Yakub, it was this Chuan, Ashraf Chuan from Australia. I mean, down under, they're listening to you, and many other UK, we Marshall have a very sizable listenership. So imagine, Adam, I mean, you and I, when you're growing up, you never ever dreamt of being on international platforms where the whole world will listen to us. Adam, your thoughts?
Yes, Shafaat, exactly. You know, we so take for granted technology because just a short while ago, for anyone to do a live broadcast, you'd have these huge multi-vehicles arriving at a destination with satellite dishes on the top and millions of rands worth of equipment. Just to have a microphone and have someone, a presenter, you know, give a show at a live venue. And you got such a thing, Shafaat, you know, live broadcasts from such and such and so much of effort. Now everyone, even just with cell phone technology, Shafaat, I could be floating on my boat in the harbor or here on the back end. The signal is still strong enough to have a perfectly clear signal. And many times it's just as clear as being in the studio, Shafaat. So I think you know, we've been able to reach across the world, and we're doing it so easily now. We really take it for granted, but I think we really need to show some appreciation for, you know, what we can do with such technology, Shabbat.
And, you know, we should be grateful that, you know, Allah has chosen us to be on these platforms. There's, you know, billions and millions of people. I mean, out of that, maybe 5 or 3% are broadcasters, but Allah bless you all. And if they are good, like yourself, hey, It's a treat to have on air. Adam, here we have a message again from Karim Kalu. Karim Kalu says, Adam, why are mackerels so scarce nowadays? That's my favorite bait. Is it true that mackerels are scarce, according to Karim Kalu? Adam?
Just like how you get put in season part. So in terms of bait fish, mackerel is a prized bait fish. And now that shad season is open, everyone's back to shad fishing. Mackerel is a very good bait, to use for shad. You get two types. You get the Japanese mackerel, which is actually an imported pike species. And you get the sugar mackerel, which can be caught locally here in KZN, or it comes from areas like PE where they trawl for them. And coming to summer, a lot of anglers use mackerel for, as I said, shad, as well as for inedibles like sharks and skates. So the demand goes up. So suddenly all the shops, stocks dry up because the customers come and snap them up, as well as coming into summer, these fish do get scarce out at sea in terms of catching them. But it comes in waves as well, Shafat. Sometimes in the middle of a month where there's no mackerel, suddenly you'll have shoals and shoals of them, and everyone goes dilly trying to catch mackerel and keep them in the freezer. So it is seasonal. Coming to summer, we do see shortages of mackerel and also baits like red-eye sardine, Shafat.
JazakAllah for that, Adam. Saifullah says, Assalamu alaikum, Brew Chef and Adam. You all are simply the best duo when it comes to fishing, eh? I'm not the fisherman, I'm just a tuna. Adam catches all the fish. He says, Adam, the pickers are causing havoc beside the sharks. How do I prevent my bait from being lost? These pickers are really worrying me. It's like woody woodpeckers. Adam, how do you respond to Saifullah?
Yes, Shafat, fishing is a very creative thing, and generally you would use a soft bait so that you can attract fish that, there's no effort for them to eat. Like you'd use a cracker prawn, or you'd use some frozen prawn cut up, mashed, and tied onto your hook. If there are pickers that are just taking off your bait before the bigger fish can come through, then you'd use a hardier bait like squid. Squid, once you thread it onto your hook, it lasts much longer. But you need a combination of this, Shafat, because the pickers, when they come through to taste your bait, they actually attract the attention of the bigger fish. So the anglers have developed a thing called a blob bait, where you use a significant chunk of squid on your hook, and then you take pieces of squid and mash it up with a chokka hammer, and you wrap this around the bigger piece of bait with bait cotton. So what this allows, Shafat, is the pickers will come and eat up all the small mashed up pieces around your bait, attract the attention of the bigger fish, and then the bigger fish will come and eat that huge blob bait, and there you've solved the problem of pickers stealing your bait, and then you're sitting fishing with a bare hook, Shepard.
Hey, you should have told me when I was a lighty, I was going to lose my bait every time in the river mouth there, because the pickers were one way charming it every day, every minute. Well, Adam, I also recall there was an old man, I think related to Lenny, our good fisherman and our lifesaver. And he used to always catch, I think, sea lice and all those crabs and then sell it at bait. How could they, did they smash the crab and use it as bait? And the sea lice, how's the population of the sea lice? I mean, when I was a lighty, I should see quite a bit of them, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, this is the beauty of fishing. You can harvest your bait right there on the beach. So it can be very cost effective. For example, a person who's unemployed, you don't even have to go and fork out money to buy bait to fish. And really speaking, if you are harvesting your baits from the beach where you're fishing, that's what the fish are actually eating. So fish like stumpies, etc., come really shallow, and they would burrow in the sand, and actually they are able to access these sea lice that live on the shore break. And even fish like, they call it the dollar fish, it's a wave garrick, that you catch them right on the shallows because they are also feeding on small sea lice. And fish that like crustaceans are your stump nose and species like mussel cracker. The name itself, lends to understanding that they have very strong jaws and strong teeth, and they can crush the shells of sea lice as well as crabs, Shafaat. So sea lice generally, the guys pin them whole and they remove the shell on the back. And some of them even add a piece of mackerel, a small fillet of mackerel onto it and bind it up. Crabs generally, they cut the legs off and use the body part, maybe the full body or just half the body, and remove the back shell. So there's a lot of smell that comes out. And when the fish bites, it's got a lot of flavor coming out and a lot of crunch from the bones as well. So that's how you would use your sea lice and crab bait, Shafaat.
Adam, your expertise are really coming to the fore this morning, highlighting what's going on. And you know, I'm thinking about the seagulls and the albatross. What do they feed on? You know, the seagulls, you see them nimbly running on the seashores and then taking off and so forth. And I believe that the albatross, for the first 6 years of its life, it actually flies. It's flying around. And only, after 6 years, then it starts mating and having a home. Fill us in, madam.
Yes, Shafaat, the seagulls are pretty common along our shores, although I seem to see more pigeons than seagulls here in Durban. I think in Cape Town, you'd come across a lot more seagulls. And they are basically scavengers. So they pick up all pieces of bait that's lying around the beach or washed up fish. So it's very, very important for anglers to take care of their mess. You know, if you have a tangled trace with some bait on it, do not, under any circumstances, leave it lying around the beach, because it's such a hazard for these seabirds that are so sensitive. So make sure you dispose of old hooks, traces with nylon on it, and even your old bait. Don't leave bait lying around on the beach. If you are leaving, clean up your area and throw the excess bait into the water so it can be eaten by smaller fish and recycled. And yes, Shafaat, some of the seabirds are so remarkable. You know, you cannot believe it. If you think about, if someone tells you that a bird flies for 7 years without reaching land, you'd wonder, is this person smoking something? Because it has to remain flying all the time. How does it rest? How does it sleep? So these birds have actually, they're designed, I wouldn't say they've developed the ability, I think they've been designed by our creator, so that I think they shut down half of the brain on the one side and then half of the brain on the other side while they are flying to get some sleep. And the wings are spread and they're actually gliding, so they're actually able to rest the muscles. But then you'd also think of, where do they get fresh water from? If they're flying out at sea for like 7 years at a time, where do they get fresh water? How do they even poop? Obviously that's easy from the air. But there's so many, leave so many questions, Shafaat. And that's the miracles that abound our lives and that we are oblivious to. So Google is there. Google it and enjoy all the information of our creator and marvel at how things are designed and how we take so many things for granted, Shafaat.
You know, you said a brilliant line there. Look, the Quran tells us, look within yourself and look around you and you'll see the signs of your Lord. And alhamdulillah, what a beautiful, thought. Even the mutton bird, they say, it flies, virtually it makes a perfect eight flying from, north to south. And, every year it knows where it must be, summer must be here, winter must be there. And, these are instinct, they are pre-programmed by our maker, our creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only creation of Allah that's given free will to a certain extent is human beings. We can do, Allah said, okay, you got the choice, you can choose good or evil. But animals and all the other creations, they are programmed to do what they have to do. Looking at a message from Bashir, he says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kamda and brother Shafaat Ahmad Khan. I really enjoy the program. Allah bless you all and Allah keep you all. I was told that it is better to fish in deeper waters because you get the bigger fish there. How true is that, Adam Kamda? I think that's quite true, Adam.
Yes, Shafaat, as a beginner, you'd think that my cast is not so good. I can only cast maybe 20 meters or 30 meters, and I'm not getting any bites. And look at that angler. He's got a really professional rod with a multiplier reel, and he's casting beyond the breakers. Surely the bigger fish are out there, and I must do everything in my power to get my bait beyond the breakers. But it comes down to reading the water and understanding fish, Shafaat, because as I mentioned earlier in the show, you get a fish called the wave garrick. which literally feeds right at your feet. So if you are casting with all your might to the back, right to the last wave, and the fish are actually feeding right at your feet, then you're actually missing the opportunity. So you would adapt your chase and your bait and your tackle to suit the fish that you're targeting. And you get different types of fish on the different zones of the of the surf. For example, even when you're fishing for shad, I watched this one old gentleman one morning who had cast out and fish within a matter of like 20 minutes for shad, and everyone around him didn't catch a single fish. But if you observed what he was doing, Shafat, he cast out as far as he could, and then he slowly retrieved the bait. He kept turning the reel slowly, and what that did, Shafat, is that it brought his bait closer and closer to shore until it reached the strike zone. And probably there was a gully running along the shore at that point where the fish were actually holding up. So the other guy's baits were probably sitting on a sandbank beyond the gully, and this guy's bait was pulled into the gully, looked his fish, and he reeled it in. So, it's not necessarily true that you have to fish in the deepest water possible to try and catch the biggest fish. And it's also very useful to observe what people are doing around you, especially if someone is successful. Is it a different bait? Is it a different chase? Is it a different style of retrieve? There's so much that you can learn by even talking to the guy next to you or observing how they're fishing, Shafat.
Adam, you know how graphic you were. I could see that Chacha there reeling. You know, the ball reel, the oval rod, 12 foot, and he's reeling and reeling. And suddenly, Chacha catches a crayfish. I don't know how many times you saw that, but that gully thing you spoke about, you know, we're talking about the gully. I mean, that is so graphic indeed. You may think it's a shallow end, but there's a lot of gullies. You know, describe a gully to the listeners, Adam.
Yes, Shafar, it's basically a channel that's running parallel to the shore. So if you want to observe it, especially on the low tide, you'd see the waves breaking right on the back. They're probably breaking on a sandbank. Then that white water washes over the gully, and you usually find that the white disappears. It becomes like bluer water again until it reaches the shallower part, and it's another sandbank. And, the wave could break again, or it could be just a little foamy, and you get foamy water coming to the shore. So that area where the white foam turns to blue again, that's your gully. That's where the deeper part of the beach. And it's also important, Shafat, as bathers to observe these conditions, because as waves break over sandbanks, it has to wash back out somewhere, and it can't go back over that same sandbank. So it kind of like inevitably creates a side current, and then when it heads back out to sea, it forms a rip current, which is the current heading straight out to sea. So if you're a bather, you need to avoid the rip currents, because you just get basically swept out to sea, Shafat.
Now we are talking about ducks. What about the water duck, Adam? Is it very common like our ducks? Describe a water duck to the people.
Yes, Shafat. Recently, in the last few days, we actually noticed more duck activity around KZN. I was at the marina the other day, and there was a duck on my mooring. As you saw me, it just literally ducked into the water and swam around and came up like about 50 meters away. They love hunting in the marina, because there's lots of little glassies for them to eat. And then when we were out at sea as well, we saw two or three flying together, and just looked up at them, and we don't see them often, so it's quite interesting to see that the variety of bird species that we get off our KZN coast. And I'd like to mention as well, Shafat, when I was out at sea yesterday, the water color was looking really good. It was looking really clean. I met some divers out there who were spearfishing, and had a little chat with them. They said there's quite a few amberjacks moving around. And this bodes well for our summer season, Shafat. We're waiting for the deep blue, like the ink purple color of water, where far out at sea, where the tuna and the dorados will hunt. And inshallah, we'll have a good season this summer, Shafat.
Inshallah. You're talking about ducks this morning. Do you recall the legendary lifesaver duck? He was Faisal Puzania. He was one of the best swimmers ever produced in Sepinga Beach. You recall him, Adam?
Yes, Shafat. I'm familiar with quite a few of the lifeguards, but I don't think I've met Faisal. Or maybe we might have met in passing. But there are some real legends coming from that part of our our coach and Shafad. A lot of these gentlemen really dedicated to the sport and have trained a lot of junior lifesavers under them as well, Shafad.
Well, Doug got his name there because he got caught in a riptide of the current that took him in. But being an expert lifesaver, so he just, you know, he just let it be. He, for 2 hours later, he was washed out at Rudian Rocks, you know, taken from a river mouth and went round and he came at that end. So he got that legendary name. While we're waiting for your recipe now, Adam, let's go for it. Bismillah.
Yes, Shafat, as I mentioned, it's a nice masala recipe. Lately, I've been just giving you some garlic and butter. This recipe is suitable for some white flesh fish like the snapper salmons that are biting quite well off our backline. So you start with, you heat some ghee in a medium pot over medium heat until it melts. And then you add to this some danya seeds and mustard seeds and just cook it for about 30 to 45 seconds. Then you add some cooked onion, stir occasionally, and cook until it starts to turn golden brown, about 5 minutes. Then you stir in some garam masala, some jeera powder, some turmeric powder, and chili powder. Add some chopped tomatoes and salt to taste. Stir all these ingredients and let it simmer for a bit. Continue cooking and stirring occasionally until the tomatoes are tender and the oil starts to separate. Add the fish pieces in one layer, cover and let it cook on low heat for about 7 minutes. Then flip the fish and let them cook until they are done. It's just about another 2 minutes more. Cover again, let it cook. And then top this with some with a squeeze of lemon juice, some green chilies, ginger, and fresh danya. And serve this with roti or rice.
Adam, I'm hungry for that with the roti I shall with you. What roti? You got buttered roti or ghee roti for me?
The layered parathas are absolutely brilliant for this, Shafad.
Hey, you know what Boniface is telling me, our engineer? He says, Uncle Chef, the king of all fishing, our very own Adam Kamda. Hey, I think you owe him a boat trip, our engineer. When he comes to Durban, Adam, you have to take him because every Sunday you're talking to him, Adam.
Yes, it'll be a pleasure. You know, I love teaching, so I'd love to teach anyone to fish, take them on the boat and put them on a fish. It will really bring a smile to my face, Shafad.
Yeah, he's your team, Adam. Imagine, I mean, he knows you and he respects you and he gives you the title of the king of fishing, Adam Kamda. Jazakallah khair. Adam, your parting words before I let you go.
Yes, Shafad, I'd just like to remind everyone, my fishing trip last week, Monday, was well documented by Lionel Crowe on his GoPro, and he produced a lovely video, which is published on YouTube. Look for Fishing Durban, and you can watch all the action. And also, I'd like to give a shout-out to my friend Nish, who had a small procedure yesterday or the day before. Alhamdulillah, it was successful. And my cousin Ruxana also had an operation, quite a serious operation. And everyone, may please make dua for them, that they make a full recovery. And all those that are sick, pray for their health and well-being. Thanks for a lovely show, Shafat. Salams to you and the listeners.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.